This is Jane Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. Let's jump right on in with this one from Family Circle, Am I Ready? What you can do now to prep for your future. Here are three ways to ensure you'll be both physically and financially healthy as you enter and enjoy the next chapter. As just about everyone in their 50s and 60s can attest, those two decades are marked by changes that could dramatically impact the years that follow. Some of those changes may be physical in nature, while others are financial. The good news is that there are concrete steps you can take now to set yourself up for success later in life, no matter what your future plans. First, eat and move with purpose. Your body will undergo major changes throughout your 50s and 60s, including bone and muscle loss. Fortunately, you can help counteract this process with a good diet and exercise. Good diet and regular exercise. Support bone health with calcium-rich foods like yogurt, beans, and kale, and weight-bearing exercises that require you to work against gravity. Think hiking, jogging, or tennis. To maintain muscle, eat lean proteins such as halibut and chicken breast, which are two great sources, and focus on resistance exercises like swimming and biking. 2, get smart about Medicare. Medicare provides health care coverage for Americans 65 and older, among others. If you are aging into Medicare, your initial enrollment period is based on the month in which you turn 65. It begins 3 months before your birth month and extends until 3 months after your birth month. Explore the different types of Medicare plans offered by Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies and find coverage that fits your health care needs. And 3, supercharge your savings. For many people, earnings peak during their 50s. If you're among them, use the opportunity to fortify your future finances and max out retirement account contributions. Once you're 50, you can stash even more in those accounts thanks to catch-up contribution rules. Also, consider downsizing early. After all, do you really still need a house after the kids have left the nest? From Martha Stewart Living, Hay Day. You'll love it because moths hate it. Vetiver, that's V-E-T-I-V-E-R, is a South Asian grass with the pleasant, earthy aroma of an uncut meadow. Tuck a bundle into a linen sachet and put it in a drawer, or slip it over a hanger in your coat closet to welcome guests and repel pests. You can buy vetiver, also known as chrysopogon, zizanoides roots. I'm going to spell that. Chrysopogon, C-H-R-Y-S-O-P-O-G-O-N, and the other one, Z-I-Z-A-N-I-O-I-D-E-S, also known as vetiver roots. $8.25 for 2 ounces at southsidenaturals.etsy.com. A vetiver sachet will last for years in a bureau or closet. Dampen the root to revive the scent, let it dry in open air, and cinch it back inside. From Family Circle, holiday-proof your diet. Try these real-world, real-woman tricks to treating yourself, having fun, and still staying on track. You say it every year. Holiday madness is going to tank my diet because October, Halloween, November, Thanksgiving, and December, too many to name, seem to represent temptation after temptation. And the truth is, strict diets tend to backfire more spectacularly than a zero-tolerance Fortnite ban. Virtually all fad diets and generic weight loss programs fail, says Lauren Harris-Pincus, RDN, author of The Protein-Packed Breakfast Club. They're too rigid to sustain long-term and aren't personalized to meet your lifestyle needs. That's why it makes much more sense, especially at this time of year, to swap restrictive habits and inscrutable rules. And how does one track a macro anyway? For strategies that fit your busy, messy lifestyle. Approaches that are built around you and your family are the most effective, says Harris Pincus. We asked real moms to share the tricks, mindsets, and practices that keep them on track when they're cooking for still picky eater teenagers. navigating holiday parties, and binging on Netflix. Meal plans. Avoid portion distortion. Do you know what 3 ounces of lean protein looks like? Neither do we. Most people overeat just because they think they need a larger serving than they do, says Chicago area dietitian Vicky Shanta Retelny, RDN. That's why a visual aid is so helpful. I use portion control containers for breakfast and lunch, says Megan, a mom in Mooresville, North Carolina. The reusable containers, like the ones from Rubbermaid, keep a lid on unnecessary calories and calculations. Take a shortcut. I have food sensitivities. My kid only eats muffins, and my husband works 70 hours a week, says Tara in Tampa, Florida. I got so burnt out from making dinner just so I could sit there and eat it by myself. Her fix? Phoning it in with pre-made meals and meal kits. There's no rule that says you have to spend a lot of time in the kitchen to eat healthfully, Retelny says. Well-balanced meal kits combine high nutritional value and convenience. Some favorites? FitLife Foods and Clean Eats Meals and Plated Kits. Eat early, not often. I eat dinner with my kids instead of waiting for my husband to get home for us to eat, says Leslie in New Canaan, Connecticut. Otherwise, I'd be snacking until he walked through the door. An early dinner time prevents endless grazing and calorie overload. Anything you eat later in the evening has more caloric impact because that's when your metabolism slows down as your body prepares to sleep, Harris Pincus says. Out of sight, out of mind, sometimes we eat just because the food is there. So make sure it's not there. When our family sits down for a meal, I keep serving dishes on the kitchen counter instead of on the table, says Hannah, a mom in Portland, Maine. When the food is right in front of me, I'm going to keep reaching for it. Bonus, having to physically leave your seat for a second helping is a big deterrent, says Retelny. Next, veg out. That time right before dinner is still the witching hour, when you could ravenously consume your weight in honey-roasted peanuts or tortilla chips with one hand while cooking dinner with the other. I've learned to put out a plate of veggies and hummus during dinner prep, when we're all nearing death by starvation, says Jolene from Barrington, Rhode Island. If you're not super hungry, raw vegetables contain enough fiber and water to satisfy you without sabotaging appetites, says New York City nutritionist Amy Gorin, RDN. Protein and healthy fats, like the ones in hummus, keep starvation in check. The secret to snacking? Well, there's a couple of tips here. Small rewards. When there's a piece of chocolate waiting for you at the end of each day, it might be easier to just keep walking by your coworkers' birthday cupcakes or those Costco free sample hors d'oeuvres. I keep a bar of pure dark chocolate hidden in my night bedside table, says Jolene. I'll break off a few small squares while I'm Netflixing. Make it melt in your mouth, and that chocolate can last half an hour. You can avoid midnight munching sessions by thinking of the kitchen as being closed after dinner, says Harris Pincus. Swap your indulgence. Conveyor belting cheese and crackers isn't the only way to unwind. When I finally have some downtime, I love to paint my nails or apply a clay face mask, the kind that will crack if I snack, Hannah says. Self-pampering boosts your mood and shoos away boredom, which Harris Pincus points out is a major cause of senseless snacking. Keep out the kryptonite. In case you haven't learned by now, do not buy your favorite candy to give out for Halloween. Also, don't buy it 2 weeks before Halloween, only to methodically munch your way through it. If you can't stop with the Caramel Lovers mixed bag, grab the gummies and sours, or vice versa. When it comes to your trigger foods, distance is key. When something is so tempting that you can't control yourself around it, don't have it in the house, says Gorin. If you can't stop at one serving of ice cream, take the family out for a scoop instead. Have a one-snack mind. I don't snack while I'm watching TV or talking on the phone because it's impossible to pay attention to how much I'm eating, says Michelle, a mom in Staten Island, New York. Plus, distracted snacking almost never hits the spot, Gorin says. When you focus on what you're eating, you're far more likely to enjoy it. She says the best way to feel satisfied by a snack and quell cravings is to take the time to savor it. Have your fun and food. Get a literal grip. 'Tis the season for awkward cocktail parties and empty calories. When I'm at a party where I don't know a lot of people, I tend to eat more just because I'm nervous, says Elizabeth in Cohasset, Massachusetts. It helps if I have something to occupy my hands, to keep from grabbing appetizers. Instead of keeping your phone at your fingertips, carry a cute mini clutch that you have to hold, says Gorin. Other worthy hand fillers. The cardigan you decide not to hang up. Your reading glasses. You get the idea. Anything that prevents you from bulldozing snack after snack into your mouth. Take platters into your own hands. Your hostess doesn't need to know the ulterior motive behind your offer to bring an app, and you'll be happy to have something to nibble on other than those six kinds of French cheese and that single mangy grape. I always bring a fruit platter to a party, says Michelle, who likes to ensure she has healthy options for dessert. The alternative could mean you're stuck eating things you don't really want and not enjoying yourself as much, Harris Pincus says. Choose booze wisely. At cocktail parties and bars, I hold myself to two drinks by ordering beverages I like but don't necessarily love, Leslie says. As the hashtag goes, I really could drink rosé all day, but a light beer or Sauvignon Blanc takes me longer to sip. Having a strategy like this in place before you pour is essential, Ratelny says, because alcohol disinhibits you. You might reach for a refill without even thinking about it, she explains. This allows you to be more mindful. Eat three bites of your heart's desire. I say conscious of balance, says Tara, who'd rather share the occasional dessert than abstain entirely. Ordering a sundae with a couple of spoons is fine, especially if you limit yourself to three bites. The three-bite rule works magic, Harris Pincus says. It's liberating because you can try absolutely anything, but it keeps you in check. And those first three bites are where the real enjoyment is. After that, it all tastes the same. Maintain your mindset. It's food, not the Avengers. It helps to give up the idea that some foods are inherently good or bad, says Ratelny. So many of us experience guilt or shame based on what we eat. It gives food too much power. That's why switching your thinking can be the first step to building a healthy relationship with food. I truly don't believe in depriving myself just in making healthier choices, says Tara. It's a mindset that even nutritionists can get behind. If you indulge in smaller ways, you're going to feel healthier, happier, and more in control of your lifestyle, says Ratelny. Hop off the hamster wheel. Bobby has soccer, Lily has mathletes, Jamie has physical therapy, and you have whiplash. Instead of just running in circles, try going for an actual run or even a brisk stroll. It doesn't have to be about the distance or the speed, Megan says. It's the mental break. Getting up and out, even for 10 minutes, removes the mental clutter that really weighs us down. How we think, how we memorize information, and how our brain operates are tied to a physical activity, says Ratelny. A little clarity goes a long way and clears the road for healthier habits. From Good Housekeeping, I've got three cute little things you can make with your kids for Halloween fun. First, we have how to eye slime. 1. Squeeze 5 ounces of glue into a bowl. 2. Add 1 tablespoon baking soda. 3. Add a small amount of green glitter paint, putting in more until you get your desired color. Stir until combined, then mix in 3 tablespoons of saline solution. Then, roll the slime in your hands until it no longer sticks. This can take as long as 5 minutes. Hint, if it is still too sticky, add more saline solution. 6. Add googly eyes that you can buy at a craft store, and you're done. Next, spiffy spider. Attach pipe cleaner legs to the back of a paper plate, now they're showing a black paper plate, with sturdy tape. Bend the ends to make feet and dress them with doll shoes. We borrowed ours from Barbie and LOL Surprise dolls. Then they used candy corn to make a little face on top of the plate. And one last one, pumpkin stress balls. Using a funnel, fill the round parts of standard-sized balloons, and of course these are orange ones they're using, with rice, uncooked rice, about 1/4 cup for each. Securely tie off the tops, Then draw on jack-o'-lantern faces with a permanent marker. They're cute, and even I couldn't mess those up. From Good Housekeeping, some wellness tips. Antidotes to fall allergies. Many people think of spring with its blossoming trees and flowers as the worst season for allergies, but they can be just as bad or worse for some sufferers when the weather cools because of weed pollen, and mold, says Edith Schussler, MD, an allergist at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City. Here's how to enjoy crunchy fall foliage without wearing a hazmat suit. First, track pollen counts. If you know which allergens you react to, and a visit to your allergist can help narrow it down, you can go to pollen.com to figure out when your problematic pollen is peaking and plan outdoor activities accordingly. Keep pollen outside. Wear a hat when outdoors to stop pollen from attaching itself to your hair. When you step inside, remove your hat and shoes immediately and change into new clothes. Using a HEPA filter can also help, says Dr. Schussler. Start meds early. Talk to your allergist about your options, which can include antihistamines, steroids, mast cell inhibitors, and leukotriene modifiers. Some work best if you take them before the season starts. And last, think long term. Allergy shots can help your body acclimate to the allergen that's causing trouble and prevent you from feeling miserable every autumn. The next subheading, excuse-proof your workout. When you have the urge to skip the gym and start making excuses for why it's okay to bail, take a second to consider what's important in your life in a big-picture way, like being a supportive friend or excellent at your job. When people focus on their core values, they exercise more often. University of Pennsylvania research shows. Why? Homing in on what's meaningful to you short-circuits the defensiveness you feel about skipping the workout, empowering you to follow through, says lead study author Yuna Kang, Ph.D. The last subheading, are you up to date on your screenings? Maybe not. For example, less than two-thirds of women ages 30 to 65 are current on cervical cancer screenings, per a recent Mayo Clinic study. Stick to the schedule below to stay on track. So here are four tests and when to get them. First one, breasts. A mammogram is a low-dose x-ray that allows physicians to spot changes in tissue that might indicate cancer. Guidelines vary among medical organizations. Some suggest women with an average risk get a mammogram every year or two, beginning at age 40, while others recommend every other year, starting at age 50. Talk to your doctor about your risk. The test for cervix. During a pap smear, cells from the outside of your cervix are checked for abnormalities. Women ages 21 to 65 should get a pap smear every 3 years. At age 30, you may opt for a combo pap/HPV test every 5 years instead. For bones, a dual energy X-ray absorptiometry, or DEXA scan, measures bone density to detect osteoporosis. Women over 50 who have had fractures should be screened, as should all women 65 and older. And for the colon, stool tests, sigmoidoscopy and colonoscopy are a few ways to check for colon cancer. All adults ages 50 to 74 should get screened for colon cancer. Your doctor can help you choose which test to use and how often to do it. From Better Homes and Gardens, a gracious host's top tips. First, set the tone. Think of yourself as a cruise director. I always make a toast at dinner to express how happy I am that each person's there. Next, connect to your guests to help break the ice. Encourage guests to bring an object, a book, or song that's meaningful to them. As a youngster, you might remember setting the table with mismatched plates and napkins. The eclectic look can relax your guests, and so it's not a bad idea to just mix it up and give people something to talk about. No topic is off limits at the table, people say, to avoid topics like politics. But what better place? One of the highest purposes a meal can serve is to create a space that feels safe to talk about potentially uncomfortable things. Next from Better Homes and Gardens, or I'm sorry, time to move on to the recipes. We've got from Real Simple some easy dinners. First, brown butter pasta with broccoli rabe. Active time is 20 minutes, total time 25, and it serves 4. It's also a vegetarian option. We need 12 ounces rigatoni or other short pasta, 1 bunch broccoli rabe, trimmed and cut into 2-inch pieces, 4 tablespoons unsalted butter, 1/3 of a cup golden raisins, 3 tablespoons sherry vinegar, 2 tablespoons drained capers, 1 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/2 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper, 1/4 teaspoon crushed red pepper, 1/2 ounce ricotta salata cheese shaved or about 1/4 cup, and lemon zest for serving. Bring a large pot of generously salted water to a boil. Cook pasta according to package directions, adding the broccoli rabe during the last 2 minutes. Drain, reserve 1 cup of the pasta water. Melt butter in a large skillet over medium. Cook, stirring often until foam subsides and butter turns golden brown, 4 to 6 minutes. Add raisins, vinegar, capers, salt, black pepper, and crushed red pepper. Cook, stirring until the raisins plump, 1 to 2 minutes. Add pasta, broccoli rabe, and reserved pasta water to the skillet. Simmer, stirring until liquid reduces and coats pasta, about 2 minutes. Top with cheese and lemon zest. Next one, Thai beef salad. Active time 15 minutes, total time 30. Serves 4. We need 1 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/2 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper, 4 teaspoons light brown sugar divided, 1 pound skirt steak cut crossways into 3 pieces, 3 tablespoons fresh lime juice from 2 limes, 1 tablespoon fish sauce, 1/2 teaspoon crushed red pepper, 1 large shallot thinly sliced, 1 tablespoon canola oil, 2 romaine lettuce hearts chopped about 4 cups, 1 cup halved multicolored cherry tomatoes, 1/2 cup packed fresh cilantro or basil leaves divided, and 1/4 cup packed fresh mint leaves. Stir together the salt, pepper, and 2 teaspoons sugar in a small bowl. Rub mixture on the steak. Let it stand for 10 minutes. Whisk lime juice, fish sauce, crushed red pepper, shallot, and remaining 2 teaspoons sugar in a large bowl. Heat oil in a large cast iron skillet over medium-high. Cook the steak in batches if necessary, flipping once until charred and medium rare, about 2 minutes per side. Transfer to a cutting board. Let rest for 10 minutes before slicing. Add romaine, tomatoes, and 1/4 cup cilantro to the bowl with lime dressing. Toss to coat. Serve the steak over the salad, topped with mint and remaining cilantro. Pan-seared scallops with melted leeks. Active time is 15 minutes. Total time is 20. Serves 4. 3/4 cup pitted Castelvetrano olives torn. 1 red Fresno chili finely chopped. 1/2 teaspoon lemon zest plus 2 teaspoons fresh juice from 1 lemon. 6 tablespoons olive oil divided. 3/4 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper divided. 6 large leeks, thinly sliced, or about 6 cups. 4 cloves of garlic, thinly sliced. 1 1/4 teaspoons kosher salt, divided. 1 1/2 pound large sea scallops, patted dry. Fresh flat-leaf parsley leaves for serving. Stir together olives, chili, lemon zest, and juice. 1 tablespoon oil and 1/4 teaspoon pepper in a small bowl. Heat 4 tablespoons oil in a large skillet over medium. Add leeks, garlic, 3/4 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper, and cook, stirring occasionally until softened, 12 to 16 minutes. Divide mixture among 4 plates. Wipe skillet clean. Heat remaining 1 tablespoon oil in skillet over high. Season scallops with remaining 1/2 teaspoon salt and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. Add scallops to the skillet and cook, flipping once, until golden brown and mostly opaque, 1 to 2 minutes per side. Serve scallops over leeks with olive oil mixture and parsley. From Better Homes and Gardens, side dish revamp. Turn a staple breakfast side into a filling meal with smoked Gouda, white cheddar, and savory mushrooms. This bowl may be Humble Grits' highest calling. Cheesy Grits Bowl. Hands-on time, 15 minutes. Total time, 25. 2 tablespoons butter, 4 cloves garlic minced, 3.5 cups reduced sodium chicken broth, 1.5 cups milk, 1/4 teaspoon black pepper, 1.25 cups quick cooking grits, 1 cup shredded smoked Gouda cheese, or 4 ounces, 1 cup shredded white cheddar cheese, 4 ounces, sauteed mushrooms, creme fraiche, and or snipped fresh rosemary, optional. In a large saucepan, heat butter over medium. Add garlic, cook, and stir 2 minutes. Stir in chicken broth, milk, and pepper. Bring to a simmer. Add the grits in a steady stream, stirring constantly. Reduce heat to medium-low. Cook and stir 6 to 8 minutes or until the mixture thickens. Stir in cheeses until melted. If desired, top with sautéed mushrooms, creme fraiche, and or rosemary. And this serves 8. And they have 3 options for changing it up. A chorizo bowl, prepare as directed, substituting Monterey Jack cheese for the Gouda, and adding 1 finely chopped jalapeno pepper with the cheeses. Serve topped with cooked chorizo or breakfast sausage, avocado, cilantro, and salsa. Another option, bacon and eggs. Prepare as directed, stirring chopped cooked bacon into the grits with the cheeses. Top each serving with an egg and bacon strips. And last, spinach and tomato option. Prepare as directed, substituting mozzarella for the Gouda and stirring 3 cups fresh baby spinach and 2 chopped Roma tomatoes into the grits with the cheeses. Top with fresh basil and roasted tomatoes. Next up from Better Homes and Gardens, we've got hibiscus punch. Hands-on time, 55 minutes total. I'm sorry, 10 minutes. Total time, 55 minutes, and that includes cooling time. In a small pot, combine 1/4 cup sugar, 2 tablespoons minced fresh ginger, 6 whole cloves, and 2 cups water. Bring to boiling over high. Cook and stir 1 minute or until the sugar dissolves. Add 4 hibiscus tea bags. Let cool to room temperature. Strain through a sieve into a large pitcher. Stir in 1.5 cups each orange and grapefruit juices. Chill up to 24 hours. Serve with lime slices, and this serves 8. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content to this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138.